of you are with us for the first time today, so I'm going to try to catch you up on what the Lord was doing the last couple of weeks. But I can't go all the way back. Briefly, what's happening is we have been experiencing a move of the Holy Spirit. And a couple of weeks ago, George just had the sense that he wanted to release an identity over this church, and that our calling was to be a healing church. And so we all gathered around the circle, we held hands, and George imparted healing to each of us on that day. And we received that, and let me just say this as well. As I'm sitting here, as I look at each one of you, I'm not looking at ordinary people. If you're in Christ today, I'm telling you right now that you are a priest of the Most High God, and you have received a kingdom. And God wants this little flock, and He wants you to step into that kingdom. And what's happened, I think, in a lot of churches is the priests do all the work. But I think God's getting ready. I mean, the pastors do all the work, so we call ourselves priests here. But I think what God, I mean, the point of being the church is that you're the church. And so we tend to think of the church as a building. The pastors do all the ministry. But that's not true. We're just here to build up the body for works of ministry so you go out and do ministry. So what George was doing prophetically that day and imparting to us was giving us all the gifts of healing and releasing the Holy Spirit that all of us could go out into our community and love them and serve them and heal our community, whether that's emotional, physical, whatever God decides to do. So we received that. And then the following week, George had a dream. Remember Joel chapter 2, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. See, there's an answer to that right there. So anyway, he had an amazing dream that he felt was from the Holy Spirit. It was. And you know how it was really interesting because this past week I've been to other places, and the way that the Holy Spirit works is He affirms it in different places. So when God releases something, you've either seen it and you keep seeing it happen all the time. So I saw that happen on Thursday at a different congregation, a different house, a house of prayer. That same thing, different metaphor, but the same thing. So what happens is you know that the Holy Spirit is moving globally to move His body into a certain place. So we're in that place. So it really hasn't been normal here the last couple of weeks. And it's not going to be normal today. I will just forewarn you.
No normal.
It's the new normal. But I will just forewarn you that if you're here today, you're supposed to hear these words and to receive this. So just be attentive to God's heart and what He's saying and what He's speaking to us. And so as I was reading the scriptures yesterday and just preparing, the Lord just made it really clear what He wanted us to do. And today is going to be something really practical. You know, a lot of us are in our heads and we hear things. And then we just think that's the way it is, but we never actually do the word. So there's times when we just have to step out and we have to do what God is saying. So there's a couple of things today that He wants to release over this body and whoever is here that He wants us to receive and then do. And it's really cool, actually. So it's about building up the body. But it has a prophetic, you might not be used to the prophetic. Get used to it. anyway, so as I was reading John 10 yesterday, there were three words that just stuck out. This is expository preaching at its best. Not. And so I was reading it, and just out jumps this thought, and it kept reoccurring. It says, He's leading us out. He's leading us out. It said, I got to this point in verse 3, and it says, the sheep hear His voice. So He's trying to teach us to hear. That's prophetic. I mean, a lot of us don't understand that God speaks today. He really speaks. He's like screaming. He's like, will somebody please listen to me? And He's just looking for, you know, us to, you know, to open our ears. So you know what? I'm going to do that right now. Lord, I just ask that You would open the ears of our hearts and our eyes. Lord, that You would open the eyes of our spirit, that we would be able to hear You, Lord, and be led by You. So Holy Spirit, teach us. We're here and we're willing. So do what You need to do to teach us, Lord, because we want to be led by You, our Lord, and away with religion. So the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name, and He leads them out. And so that kept coming to mind yesterday, and I kept thinking about what had gone on the past 2 weeks, and then what George was saying, and I just got the sense that we really are in a new season. George talked about birthing something new, and the image that he had was we were there. There was a calf being born. There were two churches. They looked the same. They were the same. And then all of a sudden, they turned into cows, but one of them was pregnant, and the other was not. And so one was giving birth, and one was not. And so he talked about that the Holy Spirit was giving birth, and that we were there to catch the calf. And then he gave the imagery of how, you know, we've seen children born and calves born and all that kind of stuff. Really messy, really gross, placenta all over the place, messy, sticky, yucky, yucky. But we still need to receive, the baby. So we are in the process. I think actually God has already birthed something. We've been talking about it in prayer for a long time. But it's birth. And so here we are. We're the new baby. Welcome home, you guys. After that, I mean, I just got this sense that God is like, he wants us to hear his voice. He wants to be the head. He wants us to line up with him as the body lines up, the head and the body together, which probably doesn't look that great right now because we're all, we don't know how to be the body, really. We're kind of weak in that area. I'm speaking to myself and the churches I've seen. But anyway, God can correct that, and he wants to in this new birth because he wants us to be mature. God's heart is for us to line up with him and to be mature as the body. And so one of the things that he's leading us into, that he's leading us out into, is a corporate identity. I mean, our Christianity tends to be very individual. It's all about us, and we don't really understand how it connects with the whole. But in order for me to grow up in the body and to line up in him, I have to be connected to Judy. There's a corporate identity. I cannot mature without her. I can't mature without Kathy or Elise or Joyce or Ray. Not Ray. Paul. I always want to call you your dad. Paul. So the truth is we were made, we walk together. There's no maturity in the Lord unless we're together. And so how many of you guys have actually been in a mature church? Oh, you have? Okay. How many of you guys want to be in a mature church? So, okay. So, Jesus is leading us out. And he wants us to follow him into this new birth. So we're out on the path. We're all messy and dirty. And now we need to line up and follow Jesus. And then verse 4 as well. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him. Okay? For they know his voice. So part of the new birth, you guys, is really being able to hear God speak and to believe that he actually does. I think we really, really, really struggle in that area. Because we have all these voices going on in our head, and we're not really sure whose voice it is sometimes. Anybody have that issue? I mean, so it's like, so God is going to lead us beside still waters. And one of the issues that we have in places that we need maturity is in our mind. Because it's when your mind is renewed that your heart actually, well, you have to have a heart transformation. And then everything lines up. Your flesh lines up. And then your mind is renewed. And then your whole body is at rest. And God wants us to bring in a kingdom. He's given us a kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to live in that peace above our circumstances, around our circumstances. He wants us to know when the enemy is sending arrows into our minds so that we can say, no, we're not receiving that. And he just wants us to grow because part of being mature, we've talked about, is being discerning, growing in discernment. And when you're in the Word of God, you grow in discernment by knowing what the Word says, what God thinks, and how the world works and how it operates and how you operate in the world. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. So I just wanted to confirm how many of us that have been here the last couple of weeks have actually heard God's voice and what he is saying, the new vision. Okay. It's for people that are here. So, okay. Well, we'll just have to go with it. There's two things that the Lord really put on my heart as we move out and as we're led out in the Lord on this new path. And one of those is we need to lay a groundwork for maturity. And one of the foundations for that maturity is learning to walk in forgiveness. Okay, so messiness can be cleaned up by forgiveness. And it's like one of our major issues, you guys. Have you ever wondered why everybody gets mad at the church and leaves? I mean, how many times have you heard that? I mean, everybody's had that experience. But what happens is when you come into the body, iron sharpens iron, and we practice. We get to practice here. So here, I get to choose love instead of being mad and mean at Judy. And when I'm mad and mean at Judy, I have to come up and I have to go, Judy, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah, there you go. So learn, I mean, it's like, you guys, most of our healing comes by just forgiving people. Forgiving our past, letting the blood of Jesus cover our past and be in the past, and by doing what Jesus says. So the Father specifically tells us to walk in forgiveness with one another. If not, walls build up. We all know that. And the purpose here of unity and our being unified in the body is learning. Is forgiveness is a part of unity. We can't have it unless I choose love for Kathleen. And so what God does is he puts the most nasty people before you and even gives you enemies. He does. And he'll say, you have to learn how to love. And you know what? We've talked about this too. It's like everybody is different. There's not a method to love. You just have to choose every time. And every time you choose, you grow a little more in love and loving one another. So the Lord wanted me to just, he reminded me too that when Jesus forgave on the cross, he said, you know, even the ones that were putting him, nailing him on the cross and killing his very own people, he says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so a lot of times when we offend one another, we don't know we're offending one another. So we need to learn how to resist offense. And then if we take an offense, to remove that offense from our hearts and from the other person. And that's what forgiveness basically is. That's right. I love this from Bill Johnson. I read this. This is the most profound statement. I'm still thinking about it. He says, forgiveness rewrites our history. I mean, that is amazing. So what happened this morning was I got really impatient with George because I'm tired. See, I'm using an excuse now. Okay, get rid of the excuses. I'm impatient. And sometimes I'm more impatient than other times. So I'll just be that. So what happened? I'm sitting there, you know, I'm like, I don't want to hear this again. So anyway, I can allow that to grow as an offense against George, or I can come to George and say, you know what, George, I really apologize because I was impatient and I didn't want to listen to you and I dishonored you this morning. I'm really sorry. And I don't want to be that way toward you. I want to honor you with all my heart. And I love the way that you teach. It's just that I'm impatient sometimes. And there were other people there. So the people that were there, like Sherry, I need to apologize to her. If there was any offense taken by you, you know, or not. You're actually led by the Holy Spirit. But anyway, so what happens is when George, he forgives me and I forgive him, I can't hold that offense against him anymore. I mean, I can't say, oh, okay, well, you know, whatever the sin might be. I can't hold that offense against him anymore. And when he forgives me, he can't hold that offense against me. And so we start all over. Our history together is rewritten and it's wiped clean by forgiveness. Powerful, powerful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. That's how God wants us to live all the time. And it takes time because we're really prideful at first. I mean, it took me a long time to learn that. And you're just like, I'm not humbling myself. You know, but, you know, eventually you're like, oh, this is really good. You know, so then you're like, okay, I'm going to live at peace with myself and in Christ, and I'm going to love him, and I'm going to love Sherry or whoever it might be. And then you end up at peace, and your relationship is beautiful. It's restored. There's no sin between us. I need to repent. You know, I need to make sure I repent. If I've sinned against George, which I did, really. I mean, and the Holy Spirit will... I mean, you don't have to be navel-gazing either. The Holy Spirit will quicken you. And he gave me that example this morning so that I could share this. So, I love that. Forgiveness rewrites our history. So when Jesus forgave us and we are in him, Jesus wiped the slate's clean. And so now the sin that we've done against one another or not, it doesn't exist anymore. And I don't want anything in God, in my mind that's not in God's mind. So once you're forgiven, that's not in God's mind anymore. He wipes it clean. And that's not in God's mind anymore. He doesn't see it anymore. And so you can literally start all over in a relationship and live fresh like that all of your life. When you learn how to walk in forgiveness, it's powerful. And so that's one of the, if we're going to have unity, that's one of the things that we really need to learn and to do well. Okay. Here's Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. It doesn't say might forgive. If you think about it and you want to do it, forgive. I don't really want to forgive. It says must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I'm just going to read the Message version too, because it's really good. So, chosen by God. That would be you. Chosen by God. For this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Okay? And just to be clear, this is what Jesus says from the Father. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this is basic Christianity 101, is to learn to walk in forgiveness. Okay? Okay, now, connected to this is a really odd strategy that God has given us. And I'm going to use my testimony to talk about this. But what God wants to do is he wants to release our identity. And so typically what we do in our identity is we talk about it in the global perspective. Like we talk about the image of Christ and being conformed to the image of Christ and all that kind of stuff. Very important. But if we're going to establish a corporate identity, one of the things that we need to understand together is who you are in Christ and what is your specific calling. What's your unique calling? What has God spoken over you in your life that he wants to fulfill through this body together with us? How does God see you? And so what we're going to do today is, I'm going to say that is through a prophetic word. So how many of us have experienced somebody speaking a word, or there's a scripture that's sort of been over our life for a long time? And even things that we've been pondering that haven't happened yet. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that all of us are in that category. And today, if you have not heard God speaking over your life, today is your day to receive that word. Because it's really important. And what God is going to do is he's going to use that to help us understand who we are. So once I forgive George, I need to begin to see him from God's perspective. And so prophetic words are one way to be able to see people from God's perspective. Okay? So your heart is, there's something that God has put in you that is unique, and you were born for this day. This is your season. This is our season. And you're called to this body for that reason, and you have a special, unique place in this body. Well, those words help us to understand what God is saying. So I'm going to tell, I've had a number of words. I mean, I love God's word, so he speaks to me a lot in the word. I've just gotten used to hearing him in the word. But before I got called to ministry, and I dated it, it's a long time ago, 13 years, when I'm going to suggest too, well, this is later. But anyway, this is an example of what I'm talking about and how this works. Because this gifting that God gave me on July 21st, 2001, is part of who we are as a body. And so what happens then is as this word comes forth, you guys need to pray through this and help me press into this word and to see what God is speaking and what he's saying to my heart and to really see who I am through this word, because God is saying something definitive about me in this word. And so you'll have different things that will happen. God speaks differently to different people. So this is just one example, and it's pretty extreme. It's not the norm. I'll just tell you that much. But it'll make it clear. So this is my testimony. George has heard this. It's been a long time. I think it's like 2007 since we were the old building. Okay, so I'm having a really awful day. You know, one of those where you're emotionally tired. And I used to work for a commercial photography studio, and I was an account executive, and we had been out doing a photo shoot at Lake Michigan, and it's really intense. I mean, you have to take everything out there, and you have to set up all the product, and you have to organize the models and the clients in, and you have to get, it's just so intense, and I was like sunburned, and you're trying to do everything, and so I come home, it's like 4 o'clock, and I'm just kind of like, I'm walking the dog like this. You know how you're just spent. It's like you just want to go to sleep and not wake up, because you're just exhausted. So anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm walking my dog, and I lived in Oak Park, and I always walked him around the same place all the time. So it was really weird. So I'm sitting there and I'm walking my dog like this on this side of the street, and then down this side of the street, there's a woman, and she's running. She's running. And so I'm just like, you know, and she's like, so anyway, out of the corner of my eye, I see her turn around, and she runs up to me. And she hands me this piece of paper. It was folded like this. And she said, "This really encouraged me this morning. I hope it encourages you." And then she ran off. Never saw her again. Walked by that place forever. Kept thinking, was that an angel? I mean, I didn't even know. I'd never seen that woman. I never saw her again after that. But she handed me this scripture. So I opened it up. And I'm like, wow. It's 1 Chronicles 29, 9, 10, and 20. And it says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord my God is with you, and he will not fail you or forsake you until all the work of the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." And then there was a little encouragement on the bottom. And it says, "What has the Lord chosen you to do? Don't be afraid. He'll give us the strength to complete the task." And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, how many times does somebody run by and hand you a scripture? I'm like, what the heck? And so I started, you know, just pondering it in my heart. 6 months later, I got called to be a priest. I had no idea that was my calling. I had no idea. As a matter of fact, I had started, you know, thinking about ministry and, you know, that. I mean, God had already started me down that path. Anyway, so this is a prophetic word that is really important for me, but for us as a church. Because what happens is I need to take my position in whatever this calling is that God has put on me. And the interesting thing, too, is Celia said, came up to me one time, she goes, "I don't know what the deal is, but God sees you as a guy, like a son." And then I automatically thought about the scripture. But anyway, so somehow my ministry is connected to Solomon. And so my task is to understand what is it that Solomon had that the Lord wants to give me, and to walk in and to step into it. So I've been thinking about this scripture for 13 years. It's been on my heart. I've pondered it. I've put it down. I've done all these kinds of things. You know, as I've waited for the Lord to work it out, or he's waiting for me to step into it, which is probably more the case. But this is what prophetic words are. And every one of us has a personal calling that has a calling on it. And this is how, when this happens, this is how God sees me. This is a heavenly vision. This is a word from the Lord himself. And so when you see me, you can see Solomon. No. But the way that word, how does that connect with forgiveness? The way that it connects with forgiveness is we forgive one another. And then we begin to, instead of looking into the negative of what Sherry is and all her faults or my faults or whatever, we begin to see from this perspective that who we are. And so that we lay down the negative stuff. We lay down the faults. We begin to walk in the truth. And I come up to Sherry and I say, oh man, you are like, wow. I mean, because you really are. I mean, it's like when I'm sitting here looking at you guys are a kingdom of priests. And that's how God sees you. So he's seeing us from this perspective. So we need to forgive one another and walk in a way that sees the real heart of people and speak this into being. So when you look at me, you don't need to go, okay, well, you know, she's really, yeah, everybody has faults. You know, we call that discernment. It's not, it's judgment. That we need to start seeing how God sees. So anyway, does that make sense? How many of you guys have had prophetic words? You don't have to. Oh, yeah, I think I asked that already. So two things we need to do. The reason why the Lord told me about this, I believe, is because he has a strategy. And this is what this is my heart. And this is what he spoke to my heart. I know it's the Lord. Well, it may not be. You can test it. But anyway, what he wants to do is he wants to give everybody a prophetic word today. If you do not have a word today, I want you to receive one today. The Holy Spirit wants you to receive one. He wants you to know how the Father and the Son see you. And what we're going to do is we're going to get in groups of three or four. We're going to pray. Number one, let me just continue this. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask for a word. And what I'm going to do then is I'm going to ask you to give me that word, okay, that you get with your name on it, with a date. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to compile a list of everybody's word that is over their life. And what God's going to do in that is he's going to, number one, help us to see who we are in Christ. And I'm going to give every one of you that list, and I'm going to have you pray over people. I want you to look at it, pray it into. We're going to be calling everybody out into our prophetic word. You need to know what those are. And so I'm going to give that as a prayer list, as a strategy for God to enable us and to build a corporate identity. Because in this word is the building material for a corporate identity in Christ going forward prophetically. And so we're going to call that out. And so from this time forward, if I have a fault with Lynn, I'm going to forgive her. And it's gone, because if it's not in God's mind, it's not in my mind. And I have to lay it down. And from this point forward, I'm going to start seeing her from her word. And I'm going to build her up and encourage her from the word that God has spoken over her and the way that he sees her. You can actually I have a number of prophetic words. So you can have two or three. Break up into groups of three or four now. So just gather in a group. I'm going to have you guys pray for one another. Okay? I'm releasing the prophetic gift over you guys, and you guys are going to be praying. Okay, I want just to clarify. Just to clarify, you guys, I want everybody to be prayed for, including the kids. And if you do not have a word, pray for the people first that don't have one. If you do have a word and you can't remember it, we'll ask the Lord to bring that back to your remembrance. And we're just going to gather in groups. And we're just going to start with forgiveness. We're going to be very specific. We're just going to start with our body. So if there's an offense that you have against anybody in this particular body, ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to bring that to mind. So anyway, we're going to just start with forgiveness. Let God bring that to mind. If he brings somebody outside of the congregation, that too as well. But we're just going to start with us. And if there's an offense that you have against anybody, whatever it is, we'll just release that to the Holy Spirit right now. And just let him speak to your heart. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come right now. Holy Spirit, just come right now with healing in your wings, Lord. Just free us, Lord, free our hearts. If you would begin now, just for those who haven't had a prophecy spoken over their life, that want to receive a word today, knowledge over their life, I just release that right now, Jesus. by the Holy Spirit, Lord, I just ask that you would pray for the ones that had never had one first in your group and then go from there. Lord, come now in Jesus' name.